to talk about self-righteousness. None of us are self-righteous, right? Well, the session, I think, is titled The Self-Righteous Counselee, right? Is that what your title says? But on your sheet, does it say self-righteous counselee? Yeah. That was just to get you here. No. No. Before we can really get into dealing with a counselee and their issues, we have to get the log out of our own eye, right? We've got to really look at who we are and deal with our stuff so that we can be effective counselors. So I want to start off by asking, how many of you have taken classes to become a biblical counselor? All right. Taking classes. That would be everyone because you're sitting here, right? All right. And now, how many of you have a biblical counseling degree? All right. Certification? Something? Okay. How many of you counsel on a regular basis? So that ought to cover all of us, right? Well, what typically happens is that we know a little something, right? We sometimes know just enough to make us dangerous. You know, we get the truth and then we run out and try to tell everybody else how they're in sin and you're wrong, right? We need to deal with our own hearts. So I want to take a look at Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 7. Can we do that? And that's going to be the basis of our time together for this next hour. Are we ready to read? All right, Matthew chapter 23. Let's go. It says, "Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses.' Verse 3, 'Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them.' Verse 4, 'They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats at the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men.'" So now let's look at an observation of this. Who's talking? Jesus, and he's speaking to the crowds and who else? And his disciples. He's making a point. So we can very well say that he's speaking to us, can't we? The point he's making is he warns against imitating these Jewish leaders. This is a strong warning. Now, I don't know about you, but to be warned by Jesus is pretty critical, right? That's gotten serious now, right? He's warning them, don't be like them. Now, let's go back because this is just, we just really want to get what's being said here in the verse. Verse 1, let's go back and let's let it soak in. "Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and who? His disciples." Are we disciples of Christ?
Yes.
So is he talking to us?
Yes.
"Saying, 'The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not what?" Now, do you think that we say things and do not do them? Do you think that our counselees look at us as telling them what to do, but we ourselves not doing it? "They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger." Now, Jesus says, "The scribes and the Pharisees say things that they do not do." Have you ever had the opportunity where you're talking? How many of you have children? My husband tells this story around the world. One year we were doing spring cleaning and he went up to our youngest daughter's room and he threw open the door and he's like, "Oh my goodness, this room is just terrible." And he goes on a full 20-minute tirade, right? Pick up the clothes that I paid for. And he goes on a full rant, right? Now, I was sick. I have lupus. Is anybody familiar with lupus? So I was down and out, right? I don't know what's going on. So, and I had been down and out for about a week, which meant that what? Our stuff wasn't where it was supposed to be, right? Because the person that puts it where it's supposed to be was laid out in the bed. So he goes on this full tirade, and then he comes downstairs and sees his part of the closet and goes, oh. He had to march himself right on back upstairs and apologize to our youngest daughter. The very thing that he had told her was the very thing that he did not do. See, too often we as counselors are doling out this massive information. Wives, submit to your husbands. And then you go home and be like, I'm not doing that. But we don't see that submission. That we see it as, we don't see it as a lack of submission. We see it as, you know, just helping him understand the boundaries of the home. Right? Right? But we've spent 3 hours in a session with a lady telling her, you need to submit to your husband. Jesus is saying, don't do what the Pharisees do. Don't say things and then not do it. Jesus adds that one must avoid imitating much of these leaders' behavior because it is inconsistent with their teaching. Now, how horrible is it if Jesus has to come to us and say, your life is inconsistent with your teaching? Now, let that sit in for a minute. Your life is inconsistent with your teaching. How about we turn it around? Your counseling is inconsistent with your teaching. Your lifestyle is inconsistent with your counsel. Uh-oh. Does that strike home? They do not practice what they preach. See, the Greek literally reads, they speak and do not do. They speak and do not do. How often do we do that? We do that with our children. We do that with our siblings. We often do that with our spouses. I remember one day I was trying to tell my husband something about the car, and he's so gracious. If you know my husband, he's just a gracious teddy bear. He's just an amazing guy. And he doesn't say much, you know. But meanwhile, the Holy Spirit's like, hello, you. Aren't you doing the same thing but in a different way? It's like, okay, all right, I'm going to need to work on that, right? I need to confess and repent. This is what he's saying. They speak and do not do. They made demands of others without helping them to perform these demands. Now, in the counseling room, we often have the opportunity to tell people what to do. Would you agree? We are there to tell them, instruct them, to guide them, to lead them. That's what we think. We're really there to tell them what to do, right? Or at least that's the way we can perceive it sometimes. So let me give you an example. Here's a counseling example. So you find out there's a couple living in sin, right? They're not married. They've been living together. And what do we say? Move out. You can no longer do this. This is against God's standard. You're playing house. This is not a biblical covenant. And we go right down the list. Don't we? And then we go, okay, I'm going to need you to straighten that out and be back here Monday at 5:00 and we'll start this session all over again. Right? No? That's not what we tell them? That's what we tell them, right? Yeah, we need you to work this out. This is not God's standard. But now let me ask you this. How often do we follow that up with, hey, but I've got an extra room. I've got a blow up mattress. I've got some space. Why don't you come and stay at my house until we get this worked out? How often do we really do that? So we tell them, you can't do that. We're going to help you get through it. And we're all about helping them, right? You just can't come to my house. I'm all about helping you, right? I will show you book, chapter, and verse where this is wrong. I'll even take you to the pastor. He's got a room at his house. Remember, I'm a pastor's wife. I know. They drop them at our doorstep. And I go, but didn't you just build a 2-story house with 6 rooms? What's my point? In the counseling room, you have opportunity to instruct, to teach, and to guide. But you also have an opportunity to love. You have an opportunity to show the love of Christ. You have an opportunity to not be pharisaical. Because none of us really want to be called a Pharisee, right? But you have to show love. Advising obedience that can degenerate into legalism, obeying just for the sake of obeying the law. See, sometimes we tell people just obey for the sake of obeying, not obey for the glory of God, not obey for the righteousness of the king, not obey to lift up the kingdom agenda, just obey. we can slip into legalism just like the Pharisees. I want to go back. Let's go back. Let's